Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Montana, at the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August 17, 2014, or 8/12/2018. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, "Each Step I Take, My Savior Goes Before Me." Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with His loving hand He leads the way. And with each breath I whisper, I adore Thee. Oh, what joy to walk with Him each day. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me home, until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. At times I feel my faith begin to waver, when up ahead I see a chasm wide. Yes, then I turn and look up to my Savior. I am strong when He is by my side. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on, until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. I trust in Yah, no matter come what may, for life eternal is in His hand. He holds the key that opens up the way that will lead me to the promised land. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on, until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. Everlasting Kingdom of the David, number 9, is entitled, "Be a New Threshing Instrument in the Hand of the Yahweh." And the prayer thought is entitled, "Upshoots, Not Offshoots." And it's text of prayer by the Ellen G. White in Christ Object Lessons, page 43. He said, "The soil by the wayside is actually the name of the prayer thought." It says that with which the parable of the sower chiefly deals is the effect produced on the growth of the seed by the soil into which it is kept. By this parable, Yahshua was virtually saying unto His hearers, "Is it not safe for you to stand up? I stand as critics of my work, or to indulge disappointment, because it does not meet your ideas. For the question of the greatest importance unto you is, how do you treat my message upon your reception or rejection of it? Your eternal destiny depends. The seed sown by the wayside represents the word of Elohim as it falls upon the heart of an inattentive hearer, absorbed into selfish aims and sinful indulgences. For the soul is hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. The spiritual faculties are paralyzed. Men hear the word, but understand it not. They do not discern that it applies unto themselves. They do not realize their need or their danger. They do not perceive the love of Yahshua, and they pass by the message of His grace as something that does not discern them. We should pray that we do not fall after the manner of those who are always ready to find fault and to criticize, but that we give undivided attention, laying aside all prejudice and preconceived ideas, be they private or denominational, that we open our hearts unto the truth. Okay, it says, not because it is proper, but because the Bible teaches it, realizing that anything short of this is sure to lead us where it led the ancient Jews. Okay, that's the end of the prayer thought. Let's go and read 1 Samuel chapter 9. It says, now there was a man of Benjamin, whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Becheroth, the son of Afiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. And the ashes of Kish's Saul, his father, were lost. And Kish said unto his Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go seek the ashes. And he passed through the Mount Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalash, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalem, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come unto the land of Zup, Saul said unto his servant that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. And he said unto him, behold now, there is in this city a man of the Elohim, and he is an honorable man. All that he says cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Then said Saul unto his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessel, and there is not a present to bring unto the man of the Elohim. What have we? And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give unto the man of Elohim to tell us our way. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of the Yahweh, thus he spake, come and let us go unto the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Then said Saul unto his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went unto the city where the man of the Elohim was, and as they went up the hill unto the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said unto them, is a seer here? And they answered them and said, he is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. As soon as you come into the city, you shall straightway find him before he go up into the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now, therefore, get you up, for about this time he shall find them. They went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up unto the high place. Now the Yahweh had told Samuel in his ear a day before, Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of the Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people, Israel. that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cries come unto me. And when the Samuel saw Saul, Yahweh said unto him, Behold, the man whom I spake unto thee of this same shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near unto Samuel in the gate and said, Tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and will tell thee what all that is in thine heart. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of the Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house? And Saul answered and said, Am not I, Benjamin, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so unto me? And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. And Samuel said unto the cook, Bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, sit it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it, and set it before the Saul. And Samuel said, Behold, that which is left, set it before thee, and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with the Samuel that day. And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with the Saul upon the top of the house. And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul unto the top of the house, saying, Up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. And as they were going down unto the end of the city, Samuel said unto Saul, Bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of the Yahweh. That's 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of the oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, Is it not because Yahweh hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Okay, now, Yahweh chose Verlis W. Johnson to be captain over his inheritance. Yahshua chose Verlis W. Johnson, 1907, to be the captain over his inheritance, because he was playing the antitypical role of King Saul. Identically. Verse 2. 1 Samuel chapter 10. When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by the Rachel sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, The asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorrows for you, saying, What shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up unto Elohim unto Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they shall salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hand. After that thou shalt come to the hill of Elohim, where is the garrison of the Philistine. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place, with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of Yahweh will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. So you see, even though a man is born of the flesh, firstborn though, even though Yahweh by the Spirit can turn that man into a spiritual man, and give him to serve his cause. Let's continue on, verse 7. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for Yahweh is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me unto Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of the peace offering. A 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come unto thee, and shall show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from the Samuel, Elohim gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of Yahweh came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, and the people said one unto another, what is this that is come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? They couldn't believe it. And one of the same place answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? And that's the question answered at Gilead Center. After Brothers Johnson bombed out in 2002-2003 and lost his commission and was turned aside by the Yahshua, and he chose another, his neighbor, better than him. The question is asked, was Brothers David Johnson also among the prophets? Because everyone believed he was a prophet. I did. I told it many, many times to the Adventists, hundreds of them, all through the years, that we have a living prophet in our midst. And I believe it. Okay, it says, and when he had made an end of prophesying, he came unto the high place. And Saul's uncle said unto him and unto his servant, whither went ye? And he said, to seek the ashes. And when we saw that they were nowhere, we came unto Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, tell me, I pray thee, what Samuel said unto you. And Saul said unto his uncle, he told us plainly that the asses were found, but of the matter of the kingdom whereof Samuel spake, he told him not. And Samuel called the people together unto Yahweh, unto Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, thus saith Yahweh Elohim of the Israel, I brought up Israel out of the Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all kingdoms, and of them that oppress you. And you have this day rejected your Elohim, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations, and you have said unto him, nay, to set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Yahweh by your tribes and by your thousands. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their family, the family of the matri was taken. And Saul the son of Kish was taken, and when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Yahweh further, if the man should come yet come thither, and the Yahweh answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. They ran and fetched him thence, and when he stood among the people, he was higher than any other people from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel said unto all the people, see ye him whom the Yahweh hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people? And all the people shouted and said, Elohim save the king. Then Samuel took the people, the manner of the kingdom, and wrote it in a book, and laid it up before the Yahweh, and Samuel sent all the people away, every man into his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts Elohim had touched. But the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him, and brought him no present, but he held his peace. Okay, the children of Belial are the children of Satan. So you will always have a mixed congregation of Satan's people and Yahweh's people. Okay, that's the end of our prayer thought. Now we're going to go right on into our main theme. Be a new threshing instrument in the hand of the Yahweh. So, Yahweh provided for Israel back then a new threshing instrument to thresh the Philistines. And so let's see how it goes. It says this is a text of address, be a new threshing instrument in the hand of the Yahweh, by the Vicky Hall of October the 4th, 1947. So this has been a long time ago. And so it says, our subject this afternoon is found in Isaiah chapter 40 and 41. We shall begin at the first verse of the 40th chapter. Comfort ye my people. It says, your Elohim, speak ye comfortably unto Yahrushim and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Yahweh's hand a double for all her sin. So for the inspiration we see is here urging someone to comfort Elohim's people. They are to be told not that their warfare will be accomplished, but that the warfare is accomplished, that their iniquity is pardoned, and that Yahrushim, their congregation, has already received double for all her sin. Okay. For this warfare could not have been accomplished in the Isaiah's time, nor in the John the Baptist time. No, not even in the Middle Ages. For these comforting tidings can be said unto the Seventh-day Adventist Church only after she has been delivered from the yoke of the Gentiles, and so that would then be the 144,000. Would be representing the Adventist Church here, during which time the people have paid double for their sin before and after the dispersion. For this chapter, therefore, as a whole, applies unto the time of the end and the 12th parabolic hour that we are in now, unto our very time. Isaiah 40, verse 3. For the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare either way, the Yahweh makes straight in the desert a highway for our Elohim. Let's do that again. It says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. This is antitypical Elijah. John. John's a type. Okay. So it says, prepare ye the way of the Yahshua. Make straight in the desert a highway for our Yahshua, the Messiah, our Savior. For this is the verse in which John the Baptist found his text as a messenger for the preparing of the way for the Yahshua's first advent. But since we have already seen that the chapter begins with a message for the people of Elohim who live in the time of the end, in the time of the end of the 11th parabolic hour, 2002, Kermit, Texas. This is where this prophecy applies. Okay. The time that they have paid for all their sins, and since the time of their redemption has at last arrived. Who paid for all of their sins? The house of David that was residing at Gilead Center in the house of King Saul, antitypical King Saul. Willis W. Johnson, antitypical King Saul. Obviously, the chapter has a primary as well as a final application, for it applies both unto the Yahshua's first and unto his second advent. Now, for Yahshua's first advent, he came in obscurity. The people didn't even know who he was, even though he was among them. John the Baptist had to point him out. Same thing today. Elijah David was among the house of Antipas, where he saw and King Saul for 32 years, and they didn't know it. As the antitypical Elijah. And what is antitypical Elijah's duty? Is to point out Yahshua's second advent. For the last of these is a figurative, a voice crying in the wilderness, not in the vineyard. So, In Gilead Center, we were in the wilderness. We were not in the vineyard of the Yahweh host. We were in the wilderness, away from the vineyard. The vineyard is in Liberty Hill, Texas. Gilead Center was out in the wilderness, away from the vineyard. It was not in the land of Judah, as if I said it, but in the desert, in the land of the Gentiles. So Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, the far reaches of West Texas, where we spent 33 years together, was in the land of the Gentiles. In the hill country area, where the Rob was born with V.T. Hollis back in 1935, is called the land of Judah. Now I understand why Yahweh pulled Verlis Johnson out of the hill country, because he was living in Waco, which is in the hill countries of Judea, and typically, and took him back to West Texas. See, Yahweh led Verlis Johnson's parents out of Arkansas, and they migrated to Texas, and they ended up out in Kermit, Texas, back in the 30s, way back there, and they acquired property and houses. They built them houses, and Verlis built his, and it's all paid for. But Verlis Johnson had to move around the state because of his business. He was a trucker, and he had moved his headquarters to Waco, Texas, where the Shepherd Rod was born, where the headquarters of Shepherd Rod, right in the heart of the hill countries of antipodal Judea. And but when it came time for his ministry to fulfill the prophecy of being in charge of Gilead Center, well, then that place, Gilead Center, was located out there at the headquarters in Kermit, Texas. So, whether Yahweh had brought Verlis' family some 30 to 40 years earlier to establish. Okay. Now it says in Isaiah 40, verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. For the burden of the message to be proclaimed is to prepare the people to meet the Yahshua a second time, for a second advent, to level the high places, to raise the low, to remove all the impediments, so that the highway of the Yahshua, the way for his coming, be cleared. I wrote a song on clear the king's highway, chain the devil, make him pay. Okay, it says these terms of the figuratively say for the exalted ones are to be humbled. The humble ones and those who have been cast out are to be exalted. That's exactly what took place in Kermit. Wrongs are to be made right, for in Elohim's domain, equality and justice must prevail. So Yahshua come down to execute justice at Gilead Center and to establish equality. Okay. When the spirit of Elohim, with his marvelous awakening power, touches the soul, it abases human pride. Worldly pleasure and position and power are seen to be worthless imaginations. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of the Yahweh are cast down. Okay. So it says, every thought is brought into the captivity unto the obedience of the Yahshua. Then the humility and self-sacrifice and love, so little valued among men, are exalted as alone of the worth. This is the work of the gospel of which John's message was a part. Desire of Ages, page 135. Isaiah 40, verse 5. And the glory of the Yahweh shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. Here we are told that when this revival and reformation takes place, the glory of the Yahweh shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. That includes the firstborn of the flesh and the firstborn of the spirit. Let us therefore realize that if we do these things, we all would be the forerunners of these glorious promises and the servants of the Elohim for this time. Isaiah 40:68. For the voice said, "Cry," and he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of Yahweh bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Elohim shall stand forever. For the message of the hour is to point out that all men are mortal, no more enduring than the grass, that even their virtues are no more lasting than the flowers of the field, but that the word of the Elohim is everlasting, and that those who desire to obtain eternal life to become as eternal as the word itself should not put confidence in any man, but in the word of the Elohim only, that they should inquire for themselves, is it the truth? Isaiah 40:9. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with the strength. Lift it up, be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your Elohim. Those who shall finally stand on the Mount Zion, and who are now preparing the way of the Yahweh by the bringing these good tidings, are all counseled to get on a high mountain, as it were, and to lift up their voices together, without any fear whatever, to proclaim of the cities of Judah and to the churches everywhere, to prepare the way of the Yahweh, and to say, behold your Yahweh Elohim. So it says, Isaiah 40:10, behold, the Yahweh Elohim will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Let's do that again. Behold, the Yahshua Messiah will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. For the arm of the Yahweh that rules for him must be figurative of those through whom he works, Isaiah 51:9. Of those who are to stand with him on the Mount Zion, Revelation 14:1. For the church spotless and without guile, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image and without an ephod and without teraphim. Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Yahweh the Elohim. Let's do that again. And afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Yahshua their Savior and David their King, and shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness in the latter days, Hosea 3:4-5. Now these ones that are come up out of the land that has dwelt many days without a king, without an ephod, are ancient Israel, and they have been in their graves. When they're resurrected, the last thing that they remembered is that David was their king. And was the king of Israel forever. And so they come seeking David. Okay. For the messengers of the hour are to declare too that the Yahshua's reward, life forevermore, is with him, but that his work is still before him, yet to be finished. Isaiah 40:11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. This care over his people is to be felt when his arm rules for him. He shall then take charge of his work and of his people. As a shepherd takes charge of a flock, he shall exercise personal care over all and young alike. Isaiah 40:12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Since there is none other than Yahweh himself, who can do all these things, and since he himself is to take charge of his own flock, we know that his care over them will be matchless, and why should we not hasten that time? Isaiah 40, verse 13 and 14. Who hath directed the Spirit of Yahweh, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of the judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed unto him the way of understanding? We know that the Spirit who leads into all truth and all knowledge is not himself led or taught by any man. Hence, why should we depend on any man that is divested of the inspiration to pass judgment on the inspired truth? For the Word points out that not men only, but even the nations are as nothing. Isaiah 40, verse 15 to 17. Behold, the nations are as a drop of the bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations be afore him are as nothing, and they are counted unto him less than nothing, and vanity. When we realize that the nations on the earth, in the comparison with the Elohim's power, are as nothing, that neither the timber nor the beast of Lebanon are sufficient for even burnt offering, just that soon he will see all Israel, including ourselves, as insignificant and as worthless as the dust. Then we shall see our dependence upon him as important and as complete as is the dependence of an infant upon his parents. Isaiah 40, verse 18. Unto him then will ye liken Elohim, or what likeness will you compare unto him? This is now a question for each one to answer in his own mind. Isaiah 40, 19 and 20. For the workman melteth the graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with the gold, and chasteth silver chain. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. In these verses is shown how foolish men are. They do not stop to consider that though a piece of wood may be good for fuel, yet when man tries to make of it a likeness of Elohim, it is but foolishness, and that to bow down to it is degrading and blasphemous. Isaiah 40, verse 21 and 26. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretches out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as a stubble. Unto whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on the high, and behold, who has created these things that bringeth out their hosts by the number? For he calleth them all by their names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one failing. Since Elohim is greater than human imagination can fathom, why do men depend so little upon him and so much upon their own words? True, we may not actually bow down unto an image, but we may do other things that are equally idolatrous. Indeed, if such were not the case, these exhortations would not have come to us through this timely revealed prophecy. Isaiah 40, 27 and 31. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Yahweh, and my judgment is passed over from my Elohim? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting Yahweh, the the Yahweh the Creator? Of the earth, ends of the earth, it fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power unto the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Yahweh shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Is it not surprising that the church, having come down through the ages this far, must now be taught the very first fundamentals of her faith? Isaiah 41, 1 and 2. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him unto his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as a dust to his sword, and as driven stubble unto his bow. To be near their strength is to put away sin, and to come near to Elohim is to learn of him. Having done this, they are then to invite others to come to judgment. For the nations will keep silent until that time, and then will they say, Come, and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yahweh, and to the house of the Elohim of the Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For the Lord shall go forth as a Zion, and the word of Yahweh is from Yahrushim, Micah 4:2. Our work is therefore to prepare the way of the Yahweh for the getting of their people. Isaiah 41:3-5. For he pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Yahweh, the first, and with the last, I am he. For the isle saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. These verses plainly show that the manifestation of the Elohim's power is to be felt everywhere. Isaiah 41:6. For they helped every one his neighbor, and every one said unto his brother, Be of the good courage. For the Elohim people are indeed to help their neighbor, for the foolish nevertheless shall do foolishly, and shall continue in their idolatry. Isaiah 41:7-10. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smoothed with the hammer, and him that smote the anvil, saying, It is ready for the soldering, and he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy Elohim. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. For the Yahweh promises unto his servants are sure. Let us take hold of them now. We shall never find an opportunity as good as we have today. Tomorrow will be too late. We had better respond while Elohim is pleading. Isaiah 41:11-12. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. Now is our opportunity to do all we can for those who oppose us. For here we are plainly told that if they continue in their hostility, they shall perish. Isaiah 41:13. For I heard the Yahweh thy Elohim, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. if we as a people are not fearful, then why all these pleadings and the encouragement? Why the urging that we cast out our fears? Isaiah 41, 14 and 15. It says, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye man of Israel. I will help thee, saith Yahweh, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Now thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff." To thresh the mountains' kingdom is to take the wheat saints out of them. For the servants of the Elohim, therefore, are here, promised a new instrument, different from any ever used before. That is, the gathering of the saints in the harvest time is to be accomplished in a way undreamed of, contrary unto every human plan. This instrument will have teeth. It will suddenly separate the wheat from the straw and blow out the chaff, Yahshua, whose fan is in his hand, will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire, Matthew 3:12. For this cause we are called, and for this great and grand work we are to prepare the way. Isaiah 41:16 and 17. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in Yahweh, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Yahweh, will hear them. I, the Yahweh of Israel, will not forsake them. Yes, the chaff shall be blown out, and the whirlwind shall carry it away, to be burned with a consuming fire, but Elohim's people shall rejoice in Yahweh, and their poor will he comfort. Isaiah 41:18. I will open rivers in the high places and fountains in the midst of the valley. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of the water. The latter rain we here see is to be plentiful. It will make rivers, springs, and pools where not expected. All this is a forecast of a great harvest, even from the desert places, from the heathen land. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all the nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes and palms in their hands. Revelation 7:9. Isaiah 41:19. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the cedar tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box together, tree together. So the Elohim will beautify the lands of the Gentiles with the people, having Christian characters and graces as beautiful as the myrtle, the oil, the fir, the pine, and the box trees together. There is nothing in the world today to give men hope and peace to the mind but these promises of the Yahweh. Isaiah 41:20-24. That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Yahweh hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Produce your cause, saith Yahweh. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth, and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods, yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, ye are of the nothing, and your work is of the naught. An abomination is he that chooses you. Here is a challenge unto all our adversaries. Let them tell you what shall happen hereafter, if they can, or let them tell the past, if they will. For the Yahweh Elohim challenges them. Thus they may now know that they are as nothing, and those who choose to follow them, even they shall be an abomination unto him. Isaiah 41:25. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come from the rising of the sun. Shall he call upon my name, and he shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. Okay, so this one that is in the prophecy comes from somewhere north of the promised land. He calls on the Yahweh early as the rising of the sun. He also comes upon princes as upon mortar, and as a potter that treads the clay. In the days of these kings shall the Elohim of the heavens set up a kingdom. It shall break in peace and consume all these kingdoms. Daniel 2:44. Isaiah 41:26. Who hath declared from the beginning that we may know, and before time that we may say, he is righteous? Yea, there is none that showeth. Yea, there is none that declareth. Yea, there is none that heareth your words. Is there anyone who ever declared these things unto the people? Ask the Yahweh. Then he answers his own question. Yea, there is none that showeth. Yea, there is none that declareth. Yea, there is none that heareth your words. Isaiah 41:27-28. For the first shall say unto Zion, Behold them, and I will give unto Jerusalem one that brings good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man even among them, and there was no counselor that when I asked of them could answer a word. When the Elohim visits his people with these good tidings, he finds no man among his servants to do this work, and no counselor among them to give an answer unto these things. We nevertheless are to do all we can to awaken them. We should exalt the word, comfort his people, and prepare the way so that he can make a new threshing instrument of us. Okay, ashamed of Yahshua. Yahshua, and shall it ever be, a mortal man ashamed of thee, ashamed of thee, whom angels praise, whose glory shine through endless days, ashamed of Yahshua, soon or far, that evening blush to own a star. He sheds the beams of light divine, or this benighted soul of mine. Ashamed of Yahshua, just as soon let midnight be ashamed of moon, or of the noon. 'Twas midnight with my soul till he, bright morning star, bade darkness flee. Ashamed of Yahshua, that dear friend, on whom my hopes of heaven depend. No, when I blush, be this my shame, that I no more revere his name. Ashamed of Yahshua, yes, I may, when I've no guilt to wash away, no tears to wipe and no good to crave, no fears to quell, no soul to save, till then, nor is my boasting vain, till then I'll boast a Savior slain. And oh, may this my glory be, that Yahshua is not ashamed of me. Now this brings the study, end of our study here on number 9, Tanakh Reading Volume 2. And so we'll just do a little review of what we talked about here. And it says right here in Isaiah 41, verse 20 to 24, it says, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of Yahweh hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Produce your cause, saith Yahweh. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the king of Jacob. Let them bring them forth, and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former thing what they be, that we may consider them, and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods, yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed, and behold together. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught. As an abomination is he that chooses you. So, we're admonished, if someone come claiming they have the truth, well, just tell him present his cause. And that's what I did here with the people that had been here with me over the years. And I finally insisted they present their cause, and they couldn't do it. And so we had a separation. But it was hard separating, but that's essentially what I challenged them with, Isaiah 41:20-24. This brings the 12 of us to this hour. You can call and have set the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. Room closed now with a song. Where could I go? Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Driving alone to face temptation's sore. Where can I go but to the yard? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to help me in the end. Where can I go but to the yard? Neighbors are kind, I love them everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where can I go but to the yard? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Need a friend to help me in the end. Where can I go but to the yard? Life is grand with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from Yah's own word. Yet when I have face its chilling hand of death, where can I go but to the yard? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the yard?